In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Dara Golub.
Oh, I thought you were being Jessie Katz.
I thought I was going to be Jessie Katz.
That was your me impersonation.
That was Dara Golub. I don't know what that impression was. I thought I was something. But
and I'm Jessie Katz.
Jessie Katz, hello.
Hi, what's up?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm sleepy.
I know you are. Last night was intense.
Another late one. Award season is officially
the last,
over now.
Right, is it? Officially?
I think so. Of the entertainment spheres in which I operate.
Yeah.
Talking about the Academy Awards, y'all.
Could not have gone off with more of a bang, really.
Yeah. It was like, all right, the show is finally coming to an end, which always feels like it's 5 hours longer than it should have been. And then Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway did something cray. And
so epic.
Yeah.
It was brutal. And epic and hilarious.
Yeah, and we're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of questions yesterday about the orchestra and how those cues work. because they immediately started playing La La Land.
Oh.
And I understand that, okay, they're professional musicians. Uh-huh. They've played La La Land plenty of times. But the way that it works, and I'm sure that there's an answer to this that's probably Googleable. But like, let's say, well, how many films were there? 10?
Nine, I think.
Nine? So you have to assume that, like, yeah, they're going to assume one film is going to win over the other, but that's not relevant. You have to be ready to play
to
any of the films at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if they know ahead of time.
Who the winner is?
Yeah. Is that possible?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone knows except PricewaterhouseCoopers.
That's what we're told, right?
Yeah.
So I guess I got into a little bit of a dark, like, I was like, is that not true?
You are a resident conspiracy theorist.
It's happening. I don't know when this is when this happened to me, but I think it's real.
I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I'm not on that tip, but like, okay. It was just a little bizarre. Like,
yeah,
I just wonder
weird.
How the orchestra works. Basically, I'm curious.
Okay. Well,
how those cues happen.
I don't know.
No, am I the only? Nobody's like questioning.
I've not heard this,
with
this
me.
But
no,
I'm
nobody's saying.
I barely
this.
Looked
how
at
does
Twitter
it work,
today because I can't handle it.
Nobody's talking about this. It's just me. I'm just curious.
I like it.
A musician and sitting in the pit.
Yeah.
And they have 9 films that might win.
Yeah.
Where does that music, like, do you just flip real fast? I just wonder. Because the conductor's got to be like, go,
right,
quick.
Right.
And everyone would have to have that right in front of them.
I forgot that there was an orchestra, a live orchestra there, until Jimmy Kimmel pretended to conduct it last night. I thought it was just music cues they play.
Right. No, it's definitely, maybe the themes are so short that they can like be kind of on 2 pages right in front of you.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't think
maybe.
About that.
And they just repeat them over and over.
Anyway, that was where I went last night. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway. We kind of got into this with our conversation with Gavin.
Gavin Torek, our guest
today. Which was a little bit of the sort of like what I called escapist music, which you challenged that and said, is music really ever escapist? That's a term applied to films. And
I didn't challenge it. I just hadn't thought about it before.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I dug it.
Do you? I mean, because I've thought about that a lot since I said that. And I'm like, I think music is that. Or can be that and cannot be that. Escapist.
Right. Yeah.
Because films certainly can. And I think, I mean, I sort of wanted
La La
to just
Land.
Draw that comparison, like La La Land versus Moonlight. And both of them are excellent, incredible films. One has more sort of import or, you know, is more
social
socially
import.
Political conscious.
I know. And I've had a lot of people say to me, like, I don't I mean, most people I know saw La La Land, really enjoyed it, but have also questioned why it won so many awards this year. And my response has always been, I think that we just needed a movie like that.
Pure, just
we are
like
so
dreamy,
stressed out, mm-hmm. and just in turmoil, that a movie like that could not have come at a better time.
Exactly.
To escape all of it. Moonlight is a very timely reflection of like the shit that we are fighting for every day now.
Exactly. Yeah. And not that that's tremendously appreciated, but it's, but right now, exactly what you said, it's like there was a collective sigh of relief for this just joyful escapist film,
yeah,
in a way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we need all of it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Gavin's music is definitely joyful.
So joyful. So
she's
fun
joyful.
And dancey. Oh, my God. She's just
a delight.
Just a delight.
It was a rare early morning recording for us.
And she looked like a million bucks.
Like a ray of morning sunshine.
Oh, my God. That was great.
We did not, but we tried to rise to her level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did all right.
So you guys can hear how we did. Yeah. All right. Here's our combo with Gavin Turek. Gavin Turek, what's up?
Oh, nothing much.
Oh, you?
I'm happy to be here.
Are a ray of sunshine right now.
I know.
I just feel like your nails, your everything's.
This was worth
popping.
Waking up early
yeah.
for.
I feel so funny.
Oh my God.
It's very early. And I do have glitter nails.
You just are jumpsuit. Exuding.
I know. I wish this was on video, guys.
And my hair is really big.
Is it not? Are you not always this? Like,
no, I mean, my hair is always just large and in charge. Because it's naturally just curly and big. I mean, I'm black, so. But like this morning, I woke up really early because I knew I had to be here like on time. Uh-huh. And it's New York, and everything takes forever.
Yeah.
So I did wake up early, wash it, and tease it just for you guys. So you should feel very
thank you.
Very special.
Otherwise, sometimes you could throw it in a bun or something and just like be done.
Yeah, I mean, I rarely do that when I'm like. Going, you know, doing stuff, going to a meeting or whatever. But yeah.
Did you come here straight from LA?
Yes, I got here 2 days ago.
Okay,
straight from LA.
Cool.
Yeah,
for the release show.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Oh my God, it's sold out. I just found out.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Congrats.
I'm so excited.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Are you guys coming?
Yeah. Is that tomorrow night?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, great!
Amazing.
And the EP comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
Amazing.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
I know, it's
good
crazy.
Look for you.
Yes.
So sick. That song is brilliant.
Thank you.
Because I mean, and it's not my, I didn't come up with this, but it's the combination of such a popular modern phrase
with the
catchy disco traditional
old school.
Yeah.
So
it's a
retro.
Perfect combo.
Thank you.
So let me ask you something that you told Stereo Gum about that song is that it's about knowing your value and confidently communicating it.
Yeah.
What's your value in that song that you're communicating?
Oh, that's such a good
I know
question.
This is a very it's very early for that kind of question.
I know.
Like, let's get
oh,
to
man.
It.
No, that's a good question. I mean, for that song, it's obviously in a relational context. But even though I'm talking about a more of a romantic relational context, I mean, it really applies to any area of your life.
Yeah.
Like, I think in this business, in this career path, you have to know how to communicate your value to anybody. And sometimes it's casual, like, I'm a good look for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can't be that casual.
Right.
It has to be like, no, I'm really an asset to your team, or you need me for this show. I'm amazing. So yeah, I think for that song, it's definitely in more of a romantic way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just saying like, I know I'm good for you. So like, let's do this.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to make you look good.
I mean, and the presentation, like the whole package is just like such a pizzazz, like one big pizzazz on stage that you're just like, yeah, that would be, I want that. I want that on my team. Yeah, exactly.
I want a little piece.
And it's such a song of empowerment yet delivered like, just
fun.
So fun. There's nothing like aggressive or in your face, or you're like, oh God, she's delivering this message of empowerment. It's so palatable. It's so danceable.
Uh-huh.
Good.
Yeah.
Totally. Tell us a little bit about the challenges of putting this EP together.
Oh,
my
goodness.
I assume it was not easy.
No, it never is. I I was blindsided, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm independent. I have my own label. Right. So I'm doing it all, you know, on my own. And I mean, not all on my own. I have a,
you have a team.
Amazing, amazing team.
But you're the boss.
I am the boss.
Oh, yeah. Boss lady.
I'm the boss. I'm the CEO of my company. You awesome. Know, like it's crazy. And I'm stepping into that role more and more every day and getting mm-hmm. used to that. And it's hard, you know. I'm just learning as yeah. I go. But I have
you put out other stuff under your label, or
no,
this is the first?
Yeah. So what does this even mean? Take us through that for a second.
Yeah, the label. Yeah. So I mean, I'm in the very beginning stages of launching that and mm-hmm. expanding it. Really, I wanted to start it because, well, first of all, I want freedom, creative freedom, mm-hmm. and I want to own my music. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome to own your own music. Not only monetarily, like the value is great, uh-huh. but just to have the say whether what you can do with it, where it needs to be, in whose hands. I mean, there's just so many things. So anyways, I really, really wanted that. And so I started this label called Madam Gold, and basically, me and my manager, it's our brainchild. Like we have vision and plans for it to be much more than a label. It's just be a kind of an all-encompassing brand that can extend to outreach to young girls that want to do music, that can be clothing, that can be makeup. Like we really want to develop it to mm-hmm. be something like bigger than mm-hmm. Gavin Turek. That's why we called it Madam Gold, because just like, I mean, I love communicating to women. I think that's like kind of my thing.
Yeah.
And making them feel good about themselves and make them feel like, you know, they're beautiful and that they can let go and let loose and dance when they're at my shows and stuff and just feel good in their skin. Like yeah.
Why is this will allow you? Oh, sorry. This would allow you to have other artists yeah. on the label.
Right. Yeah. But like that thing about communicating with other women, yeah. why is that such a thing for you?
I think,
like, was there someone who did that for you and now you're trying to pay that forward, or it's just always been
yeah,
in you?
Yeah, that, I guess, yes, mm-hmm. paying it forward
yeah.
because I've experienced that a bit in my life. Uh-huh. I mean, music has always been that for me. I yeah. think, like, growing up watching Donna Summer, Diana Ross, and just so many amazing women communicate their value on stage mm-hmm. in such a classy way and in such a kind of like effortless effervescence, fierce, just strong, powerful Tina Turner. Oh my gosh, I can go on and on about like the goddesses that I look up to
yeah.
and how they made me feel, uh-huh. you know? And I think just them being themselves is so powerful in it. For me, it allowed me to be more comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
So I don't ever take that for, not for, what's the right word? I don't ever.
Like lose sight of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's lose like sight of that. Or put that on the back burner.
Yeah.
Like just me being myself is powerful enough. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like it's encouraging enough, I think, for people. And I feel the same when I meet anyone that feels good in their skin and mm-hmm. is confident and, you know, looks me in the eye and is kind and nice. Like, I'm like, oh, cool. I feel good. Like that makes me feel good too. So, yeah, I think it's about that. And it's also really about being that example. Like, as I said, when I've been in music for a really, really long time, and I've seen Solange, I've seen Toki Monsta, and I've seen Beyonce and Little Boots and all these other women who have forged their way with their own label and mm-hmm. are really, really in control. And that is so inspiring to me. So I'm really just in their footsteps as well.
Are the logistics hard to navigate at the beginning and figure yes. out what does it actually mean to oh, have your own label?
Yeah, you know? No.
And what will it get you? Like, how do you function differently than a traditional label?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's for us, because the team is, although we are very hardworking and efficient, we are still small and predominantly women.
Yeah. Yeah,
by the way,
awesome.
I mean, I that wasn't even intentional, to be honest. It was just kind of natural yeah. how that all came together.
Even better.
Yeah. But it is quite different. And again, we've made so many mistakes. We're still like just figuring
that's
it out
learn.
As we go. But exactly. Yeah. That's how we learn. And I'm glad that we decided to kind of just dive in and take the risk,
right.
take the chance yeah. to do it on our own. But
so it's good that you're the first artist then, so you can make those mistakes on yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And hopefully, like, when we do expand, if I do bring on other artists or whatnot, like, yeah, exactly. I'll learn my own lessons and I'll be able to kind of impart those to other people, push them off and launch them as well. But yeah, it's really different in that, you know, usually when you're in a label situation, whether, I mean, I've never been on a major label, but I have worked with a lot of other indie labels for all of the other work that I've put out. It's all been through smaller indie labels that are wonderful and amazing as well. And they taught me a lot and for how I'm doing this process now. But overall, it's just like all the logistical aspects that you really don't think about that they're handling on their end is what now I'm, as the artist, thinking about.
Yeah.
And that's probably the,
yeah,
the
that's
biggest
very
thing.
Tricky.
Yeah.
So do you have a team that takes some of the burden of the logistical managerial stuff off of you, or is that kind of on you now more than it would be?
It's definitely on me and my manager for the most part. I have great agents and PR and all that too, and they really help with like just promoting me and the brand and the music and all that stuff. But as far as like day-to-day aspects of making sure the music is done, mixed, mastered, distributed correctly,
your hands
printed
on.
Oh yeah, it's me in my manager, so yeah.
So
it's a lot.
you're like a total package person now at this point, but like, which of all of these things came first for you? Like, were you a writer first, singer, dancer?
Gosh, I think honestly I was probably a singer first. No. Actually, I was just a performer first.
Yeah.
Like, I've always just loved performing and being on stage, whether I was singing or dancing. Writing came early as well. And I think I wrote like my, I was writing this the other day. Actually, I wrote my first song, I think, when I was around like 6 years old.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Can you sing it? Just give us a little taste.
Jumping in this so morning, I love it.
No, come on.
Okay, I'm gonna sing. This is one of the first songs I wrote.
Okay,
and I remember
oh my God,
it very
yes.
well. Oh, it's so embarrassing. I haven't even. It's like so.
Just
silly.
Come on, hit us.
I'm just gonna listen a little bit. Just a little bit. Superman, man, my Superman.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes. Come on, keep going. Keep going.
He can do things that no one else can.
I could see the dance moves.
Did
right.
You write those? I feel like this could also be a theme
no,
song.
It's probably.
And
no,
how are
but
you
I
not?
Did. Me and my sister, we recorded it on our tape deck. We were super stoked. We wrote like
was
another
there a
song
dance?
Called Heart to Heart.
Of course, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Heart to Heart.
Yeah.
What's that one?
Oh my God. No. No more.
Yeah, yeah.
No
Come
more.
Come on. Just a little taste of Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart. That's it.
Sounds like a hit.
I think you should still make that.
I'm so embarrassed right now. I was not expecting to
That's
do that
awesome.
At all.
Making
yeah,
it on cassette tapes and
recording on cassette tapes. Oh yeah, me and my sister. The funny thing is, I'm jumping around, but when we were kids, me and my older sister Hannah, we were really into like making music and seeing the whole process through. And that's exactly what we're doing today. So no joke, she's always been a visual person, photographer and stuff. So that one song, Superman and Heart to Heart, recorded on our tape deck. And then we're like, we need album art. So she's like, let's do a photo shoot. I literally have this documented.
Wow.
So it's for real. But it's just a picture of me with like a heart over, like a cutout heart over my own heart, looking down, very emo. And she took the photo and then she put it together and like put the label on it, Heart to Heart and everything. We put in the tape deck like it was a presented package, finished package. No kidding. Hannah, my sister, today, she is my photographer. She's done all my album artwork.
Which really
is gorgeous,
she's really
by the way.
She's
so
amazing.
Talented.
I know.
She's a photographer. Like that's her
that's
job.
That's her job.
That's
she
awesome.
Is,
yeah.
She's a fashion photographer. She's incredible.
Oh my God.
But
it
yeah,
started
she's
then.
Art
that's,
director.
Yeah. So
but that's
special.
Where it started. So yeah.
But I hope you have all of that stuff.
I do.
Oh my
I
good.
Do.
Good, good,
it's there.
Yeah.
My parents' house in a box. somewhere. Man,
do you play? Do you play music at all?
No. Okay. I don't at all. I mean, a little piano by ear, but yeah, no, yeah. I wouldn't call myself a no.
Mm-mm. And did you ever study dance formally?
Yes. Okay. So after I started, just being musical and singing and stuff. Uh-huh. My family is very musical, so that was just in our house. It was very natural.
Where'd you grow up?
LA.
Okay.
Yeah, in Los Angeles, in the Valley. I started dancing when I was, I think, like 8 or 9, just ballet, you know, jazz, uh-huh. what every little girl does. But then I got really serious about it, and I started to train and prepare to audition for the arts high school out in LA, mm-hmm. LA County High School of the Arts. It's like Fame, right. You know, for kids.
Uh-huh. West Coast Fame.
Yeah. And it's so much fun. So I ended up going there for dance. Oh, cool. And studying all throughout high school.
Is okay. it like that yeah. vibe? Is the oh, movie an accurate portrayal of kind of the...
Not the recent movie, but the older
the recent
one.
Movie.
There,
recent
they made an, they did made they another it? One. Yeah, they did a
I
remake.
I totally missed it.
Yeah. It of the New York school?
Great. Yeah, okay. It took place in New York. Ooh, it was a while ago. It was like 7 years ago.
It's not a movie that I would
Six
see.
6 years ago.
Just for the record. You look the at me like, fame? Oh, how did we miss that fame? One?
I don't know. I would see it. Is it a musical?
I try to avoid yeah. remakes in general. Although I actually enjoy the remake of Footloose.
Did you?
I didn't say
see
on
that.
Record.
No. No shame. I want to see that.
Juliana Huff, is it she good? Can dance.
She can dance. Yeah. She can dance.
I mean, yeah. Anyway. I'm interested.
We digress.
Yeah. but so fun experience. fun. That's
amazing.
A fun high school experience. Very different.
It was the best. Yeah. It was seriously the most phenomenal high school experience you could ask for because no one made fun of you for being weird. The right. weirder, the better.
Yeah.
The more talented, the more popular you were. Like, it was just so backwards mm-hmm, compared mm-hmm. to
the best.
Like other yeah. typical high school experiences.
Totally.
So, it was,
so were
it was
you doing
amazing.
Traditional, like ballet and
yeah,
jazz? And
mm-hmm, ballet and modern mostly at the high school. And then I got really into West African dance in high school too. Okay. So I kind of.
So that's what brought you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, okay. carried that on.
And so. Then did you go to college after that?
Yeah, okay. I did. I went to a college, a small liberal arts college in California called Scripps.
Uh-huh.
All girls.
Oh,
it was
wow.
fun though. It was yeah. fun.
What like, was
oh,
that
wow.
decision?
Tara. I don't know. Like, it's a shocking revelation.
An all girls college?
It is kind of shocking.
How
they
is that
exist?
Not shocking?
Well, I will.
I don't know. Ask anyone who went to Smith or Bryn Mawr.
Right, which are great schools, or like what Wellesley?
Yeah,
yeah, those
are
like
that?
Amazing.
Okay, you can
colleges.
Name all these all girls off the top of your head. I don't know. It's
Barnard. No, well, right,
yeah.
that's the girls.
Yeah,
that's all girls.
But you can take classes at Columbia.
Okay,
so that's the thing. But with Scripps, you can take classes. There's 5 colleges in one area, and there it's a.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Consortium, I think that's how you say it. So, yeah, you take classes at the other schools, which right. are more than half male. So you don't feel like it's...
Isolated
or all girls, yeah.
Okay.
So, but it was really, it's beautiful campus, amazing school. I really had a good time there too.
That's amazing. I didn't mean it in any way. I'm just curious about that decision, you know.
Where did you guys go to?
I went to Kenyon College in Ohio.
Okay.
Like small liberal arts.
Cool.
Yeah.
I went to Giant School. I went to BU.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But I mean, no, I just, it's, it, to not have a religious sort of undertone to it, or
no,
some just, of the reason just to want. I'm surprised that you're like so surprised at my my feeling.
I mean, they say that the women really excel in an all-female classroom. This is a thing. And I think like a lot of Supreme Court judges and politicians and doctors and general excelling professionals go
they
to all-female schools.
They feel like rock stars. Yeah. They really
That's
did.
Amazing.
They,
yeah. When you're not really like, yeah, anyway. I mean, we don't need to get into the whole thing about
No, I
all
mean,
that.
I would have done a lot better. I would have done a lot better than that.
Yeah. I mean, you can easily imagine why, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Very smart.
Yeah. Anyway,
I liked it.
I went to a private school, private middle school and high school that had been all boys mm-hmm. and just switched to co-ed a year before I got there.
Interesting.
So it was more boys than girls the whole time that I was there. And it was very math and science focused. Mm. And it was like, so I almost felt like I went to an all boys school.
Wow.
That's
and
crazy.
It was not great for all of those reasons that you can imagine.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
So that was not.
No.
Sorry.
I would not recommend it. I think their numbers have balanced out now. It's probably a better situation.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's
you were still measured by
college.
Like how well
that's
you
why...
excelled at sports. Like that was a huge thing,
wow.
even for the girls.
Oh,
like the field
wow.
hockey players were like
okay.
the alpha chicks at
okay,
school.
So different. That's
yeah.
yeah.
Right.
That's a really unique experience.
Yes.
I didn't have as like enough of sense of self, I think, to like notice that. I would have just been like, oh, the boys, like yeah. have fun. You know, I wouldn't have right. been like, I'm not what? Valued. What? You know, I wouldn't have realized that. I would have just been excited.
Well, yeah.
And distracted.
I wasn't that cognizant of it like, at 11, but by the
in
time
high
I
school,
was 18,
I would have been excited.
Yeah.
Just really excited all the
anyway,
time.
So did you do much dance at Scribbs?
I did mostly. I wasn't a dance
Scripps.
Major.
Scripps.
Mm-hmm. Scripps.
Sorry. Scripps.
Scripps.
Guys, we both have coffees. All right. Let's just put it. Let's just go there.
I'm delirious. I woke up too early and went to bed too late. No,
you never
yeah.
lived in LA. That's why. That's what's happening. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Got it.
I did study dance in Scripps, though, but not formally. I wasn't a dance major or minor. I just was very active in the dance community. And then I studied abroad and danced a lot when I was abroad.
So that cool. was in Ghana?
Yeah, incredible. Ghana and India, too.
Incredible.
Wait, you studied in Ghana or you studied abroad and went to Ghana?
I studied abroad in Ghana and in
wow.
India. Oof. Yeah, so I was gone for a whole year.
That's a whole year.
Sweet.
Good
so
for
like,
you.
Yeah.
You are not one of those awesome. Students that's like, I'm going to study in Australia.
No,
their English is a little different than ours,
no.
and they have pretty waterfalls.
I know those people. I'm not even going to lie. Kind of annoyed me a little bit because I'm like, you have the opportunity
to
go
anywhere. Exactly.
To be the same. You're yeah. paying the same tuition.
Yeah,
you need
I
to
know.
Go as far away as possible.
I know.
That's what I was like. I got to go somewhere in Asia. I got to go somewhere in Africa because
awesome.
I don't know when I'm going to go back there. That's
yeah,
so expensive.
It's really amazing.
So
what,
smart.
Did your school have a program though? Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. They had, yeah. they had like sister programs.
Yeah. Ghana was not on the table.
I don't
for me.
Think so.
It
that's not
okay.
just like people were like,
we
no,
nope. studied in Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is like, still wonderful.
Which is wonderful and amazing, but it's the same as
it's
Australia.
Not Ghana,
it's
but at least
not
like
Ghana.
The language was foreign for us.
Well, and where did you
I was in Italy and she was Spain.
Okay. So cool.
But not Ghana again. No. Not Ghana.
It's okay. You could still go. There's time. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I would recommend it.
So was it a semester in India, a semester in Ghana?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was
very
it was
cool.
Wow. And did you live with a family? Did
yeah.
you live in a dorm? Wow.
Yeah. Both places. I actually still am friends with my host sister from India.
Oh, wow.
She's grown now, but she was like 6 when I was
Aww.
There. Yeah. It was amazing. India was really special. That was the first place I went and
what
I'd never
was your
been
major?
To
sorry.
A country in that region of the world. So it was really crazy. My major in college, of course I created it because like.
Because you create everything.
I was,
like,
I want to go abroad. I'm like, okay, you need to. How?
Why?
What are you going to major in? How are you going to do that? Like, well, I can
Doesn't
create
matter.
My own major
yeah.
around when I'm going to study abroad. Because, you know, the junior year is kind of important.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I had to.
So what was the major that you came up with?
I think that I titled it Global Arts and Culture.
Cool.
Something
Brilliant.
Extremely broad and let me get away with. But really, I studied mostly religious studies
oh.
and performing arts.
Awesome.
So it was a
perfect.
Yeah. Perfect for
perfect
me.
Combination. Yeah. And who cares why you're there? You're there. And yeah. you're going to experience totally. It. Exactly. That's the whole point.
So what happened when you came back or when you finished school? Sorry, that's my laptop that keeps dinging.
Oh.
Just ignore it. Ignore it.
We're like, what is that?
Like, you're correct.
Like, that sound is for
it. It means you made a good point.
Yeah.
Great.
Ding. So wait, what when you got out of school, mm-hmm. what was your next step? What did you do with
wait,
all
hold
that?
On. I want to hear more about Kona.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wait,
okay. Okay.
She's sorry. Like, girl, okay. the time, the
right.
time.
Fine, fine. There was okay. a lot of dancing in Ghana,
There was
though.
A lot of dancing. I studied with, just real quickly, mm-hmm. I studied in Tamale, which is a northern city in Ghana, and I studied the traditional dances of that area. So one of my favorite dances was Bamaya. That's a really famous dance that comes from that city. And yeah, it was amazing. Danced like 6 hours a day.
Oh my God.
So intense, but really wonderful.
Like ritualistic, I imagine.
Yeah, but
meaning behind it, right?
Absolutely,
I mean, like
yeah.
that's the difference a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, you bring it here and we get excited, mm-hmm. but there's probably all this infusion of like
it's a part of life there.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone knows the traditional dances in the way that the my teachers know them. They're really the experts of their community, and they educate the kids in their community with these dances. But dance is definitely a way of life and in a way that it is not here.
Right.
I mean, I went to the first day I was there, we went to a funeral and everyone was dancing. And oh, then wow. I went to a wedding. Everyone was dancing the
yeah.
whole time.
Right.
Birthdays, everyone's dancing. It's just every kind of point in your life you need to celebrate through dance. So it's just really amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that because that's the way that your music and this disco now, because it's... The most recent sort of association I have with disco in the pop culture mm-hmm. is the Get Down.
Yeah.
Like, which was
which
amazing.
Amazing. It's
so amazing. And that's not to say that there's not tons of other music with this energy
yeah.
happening now, but that's my
chain
what
to
I
the
think
rhythm.
Of it. Yeah.
Chain to the rhythm.
Let's go there again. Yeah. but it was so evident how that was connected to what was happening in the time culturally.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that, you know, this music is so almost escapist. But it's also like an expression of independence and like be
all
who you
want
to be and all of the things. So I wonder like how much this is something that you thought about before, or how much it's something you think about now, the relationship of the music that you make mm-hmm. to our time now. And like,
yeah.
is it harder to want to create this escapist music, or is it more important and more exciting?
Oh, more important, more exciting
yeah.
for sure. For me, I'm not a downer. So like
yeah.
in general, I'm not music that is not uplifting is kind of counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
Like I want to be, when I'm on stage, I have a hard time not being extremely
energetic.
Yeah, and like dancing and smiling. That's just part of the persona, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I do slow songs, like I can get really awkward because I'm not used to it. Like
it's
I'm
not your
I'm
energy.
Just, yeah, it's not my. It's kind of counter to my energy. So
it's
the escapism and the uplifting is really natural.
I don't know if I've thought of music. Of like escapist music before. That's an interesting
really?
Term. Yeah, I think I usually use that word for movies.
True.
You
yeah.
know, like
yeah.
like a popcorn flick.
Yeah, I wonder
I know
if I would have said
when
it
you
before,
say it,
before
yeah.
now, before this
it.
Current time. I wonder how much I would have used it in that context.
Like, what's not escapist music, for example?
Something sad and depressing.
Because it's a sad
or
depressing
something,
world
or something
right now.
Very
that,
important
right.
too.
It's
to
very
have
important
those
too. Absolutely,
songs
or something that speaks more directly. To what we're going through, as opposed
exactly.
to something that just says, let's dance, let's celebrate. There's reason to celebrate still. And I think that's
right.
so important because it is the other stuff is so important.
Yeah.
For
absolutely.
Art to talk directly to our struggles right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's equally valuable and crucial
mm-hmm.
for there to be music that we just can not think about that.
And maybe
we still will
agree.
Say like it's important to think about that because it's important to think about that for a reason.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? So it's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, well, we can't not have joy or then.
But
it's
some people
over.
Are saying, I feel like there is this narrative of like, we have to, everything has to be that.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think those artists have a really important function and I mean, in the world, obviously, I mean, they're extremely important. I just know my role.
And that is a beautiful role. I think it's a very important thing to still dance, you know?
Yeah, just smile, like get lost for a little bit. I mean, I sometimes escape just by watching concerts, like on YouTube, old stuff, Michael Jackson, Prince, Diana Ross.
Uh-huh. It's so cool that Prince now on Spotify.
Yeah, you heard about that? I did hear about that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
When you're writing and you're producing these songs, how mindful are you of not making something that just feels straight up retro or derivative of those women that you love from before? Because your music, that it feels like it's crossing times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how do you pull that off?
I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not derivative. Yeah. But how do you avoid that?
I really attribute that to like just the collaboration process. Uh-huh. I've worked with so many different producers and have just made a lot of music, written a lot of songs that I haven't released. So a lot of trial and error. And I think for a while I was kind of stuck in when I was making music for this project specifically, a little bit stuck in the retro but not relevant, or like paying homage but not, but being just getting stuck in that and not in a modern way, or not in a way that's accessible to you, or you know, just people that would listen today,
right?
And so that was why I kind of kept on scrapping stuff and starting over again.
Was
honestly.
It lyrically mostly?
No,
or
it was mostly, or I guess, I mean, the lyrics, when I do write lyrics, I really am inspired by the music or the beat that the producer is started usually. Uh-huh. Sometimes I come in with an idea and like a very strong emotional, you know, expression that I want to get out into the world. And so it depends on the day. But for this project, just for my solo stuff, I was really dependent on the producer and that relationship and what their inspirations were and how they were going to interpret my my influences and who inspired me creatively and in my ideas. You know, I can come into any session and bring a lot of ideas and a lot of like sounds or whatever, just anything to the table. But the right person is going to interpret that in the way that is, yes, retro, yes, paying homage, but yes, very accessible and very relevant to today, because that is really important to me.
Yeah.
So I thank God it took a long time to find that, but I think I did with these few producers that I started working with in the last year. So
it's so tricky because, like, I don't know if you heard the new Childish Gambino
album. Yeah,
you know, and I really loved it right off the bat. I was like, this is great. It's funky. It's amazing. I love funk. Yeah. Awesome. But I talked to some people who were like, it sounds like a Funkadelic album. Yeah. If I want to hear that, I'll just go listen to Funkadelic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then made me start thinking about, so how do you
it's such a fine
negotiate?
Line.
You know?
For me, I really just had to kind of step back and say, okay, I love disco and I love this kind of music and I love this era and I love what this represents, but I don't want to limit myself so much that I don't make music that translates to today.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then that is putting yourself in a box.
Right. Yeah.
So for me, that was intentional. That was like, okay, I like what I'm making, but let's push the boundaries a little bit. Uh-huh. Let's not just get so confined that, you know, it just doesn't translate.
Right.
I mean, I think the first song that we were like, wow, we're really going in the right direction was On the Line, which is the first song on the EP, because that particular producer, his name's Chris Hartz, he's incredible. He produced the single actually on the Childish Gambino.
Oh, really?
Which I think is the best song on the Redbone. I mean, it's the best. It's the best song on the album by far to me. Uh-huh. And I love Childish Gambino and everything he represents. I just think he's incredible. But Chris was like, Gavin, like, we need to, I get you and I get where you're going and I get your whole like Donna Summer, Diana Ross obsessedness and your big hair, all that. But like, let's, let's take some risks. Yeah.
That's exactly what you wanted.
Yeah, let's bring in like some this random like weird halftime drop at the end. And so I completely trusted him and I let him go there.
That's cool. That's huge.
And we put out that song and it went number one on Hype Machine. Like it just took off and we had no press, no PR behind it. Like it was so organic how that happens. I was like, okay, we're going in the right direction.
That's a good feeling.
Let's keep on working together. Let's keep on pushing this, this feeling, this sound, like cultivate that.
Awesome. And I also think probably at the end of the day, it kind of has to go by just what feels good to you and what you want to listen to.
Yeah.
I mean, because you also can't overthink
it.
Advice.
Right? That is the best advice I've ever actually.
Because I feel like we just got to a place of being like, and thinking about how people are going to interpret it and if it feels that way or that.
Trusting yourself is the key with that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
As an artist.
Yeah, as an artist.
God, right. It's so hard to do that. Yeah. But you have to. Like, if you don't
and taking
get that
a step,
feeling.
Yeah, you have to like be able to have enough distance to say, I am being objective here, but I have no other choice.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It has to give you that, like, just unexplainable feeling inside. And I didn't get that for so long. So I'm so happy that now I'm finally like, okay, I like this music.
So excited.
Let's go. And there's much more to come. So yeah, this is like a little teaser.
It's the beginning.
Awesome.
It's the beginning.
Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah. So when this episode posts, the EP will be out.
Woo. Yeah.
So go find it, guys.
Yeah, good luck for you.
Good luck for
good
you.
Good luck.
Woohoo.
So you're going to perform a little something for us?
Yeah. Yeah,
to get our day officially kicked off.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Let's do this.
Feeling good all day. Love this.
Yes. What are you going to do?
I think I'm going to do On the Line.
Perfect.
Woo.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We just talked about it. So now you guys can hear it.
Woohoo.
Thank you, Gavin.
Thank you, Gavin. You for having me. This has been joyous.
Seems like everybody's changing now. See the writing on the wall. But the truth is I don't want to change at all. Seems like everybody's growing old, spending money on the home. Got the 401k, no longer relying on love.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.